This is the Shannon Joy Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, world. It is me, Shannon Joy. This is the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio. It is Tuesday. So glad to be with all of you tonight, this evening. Everyone's talking about Mar-a-Lago. Everyone's talking about the FBI raid on former President Donald Trump's Florida estate. It has dominated social media. It has dominated mainstream media. Twitter is a flutter. I confess I've been tweet storming on this as well, not because I am so concerned, and I am concerned about the FBI raiding a private citizen's home in what many see as an illegal and unconstitutional way. There are all kinds of issues there. But at the end of the day, we are not living in a constitutional republic. We are lawless. We have been lawless for quite some time. So all of the people lighting their hair on fire, going bananas, bonkers, the Republicans, the rhinos, conservative media, individuals who have ignored the collapse of humanity, the collapse of our constitutional system, the massive corruption of our government that has been in plain sight over the past 2 years, the fact that now, all of a sudden, we're at a 10 when they were at a 1 for the past 2.5 years is hard to take. So I have been tweet storming. I have been on social media, and I'll probably lose half my audience tonight talking to you guys about what I think is really going on. I am not tightly prepped today. I'm going to try to work this through a little bit and hopefully articulate to you where I am at with all of this, because it is going to be a take that you will not hear anywhere else. My closest spirit animal, I think, in this is Jesse Kelly, who has a radio program out of Texas. He's fantastic. And I think he is sensing, as I am, the manipulation, the kabuki theater, the WWE wrestling match that is politics today. And no, that doesn't exclude Donald Trump or MAGA or the people who support Trump, in my opinion. My propagandar is up. I can spot a campaign a mile away. I can see the talking points, the copy points, the paid celebrity endorsements, the social media narrative, the mainstream news media narrative, the setup between rhinos and Democrats, and then the outlier group, which is supposedly Trump, as an alternate choice to the unibrow, corrupted, two-party, two-faction system. Most people think when I talk about the unibrow, when I talk about the fact based upon discernible policy outcome and observation that I've made diligently over 10 years sitting outside of the two-party system, most people think when I talk about fake fighting, kabuki theater, they're both on the same team, Republicans and Democrats. In back rooms, they craft their deals. They power share. One faction gets the control of Washington, D.C. for 4 years, then the next faction comes in. Then the next faction comes in and gets control of Washington, D.C. for the next 4 years, and then the next faction comes in, and they trade power. They keep us at each other's throats, thinking that they're on our side, scaring us away from the other party, dividing the country. Meanwhile, they continue to run government in the exact same way. The bills are identical. I've read them. I've reported on them for almost a decade. I have spent thousands of hours listening to politicians campaign and then watching them, witnessing them govern. Two completely different animals, both on the Democrat side and the Republican side. What are they interested in achieving? What is their common goal? It is status Quo, money and power flooding into Washington, D.C., more money and more power, more money and more power. They could care less about a constitution. They could care less about society. They don't care about your tax rate. They don't care about jobs. They do not care about your health care. They do not care about keeping you safe. This is transactional. They are the elite. You are the plebs. And they are handing this country our natural resources and our people, our children, and our future over to a global government on a silver platter. It is the COVID-19 fear porn fake campaign to crush our Constitution, now coupled with economic demolition, controlled demolition of every sector of our economy, save the multi-gazillion dollar global corporations, mom and pops, small businesses, people struggling to pay their mortgage and eke out a life and a livelihood and happiness for their family are under attack, and they don't care. Both parties, Republican and Democrat, some of them are too stupid to even know what they're doing, elected officials in Washington, D.C. Some of them know what's going on, but they're too cowardly to do anything. And some of them know exactly what's going on, and they don't care. They're laughing in your faces, okay? That's what you have. You have stupid people, cowardly people, and corrupt people in Washington, D.C., and that's it. Save a handful. Stupid, cowardly, and corrupt. Now, when I talk about this, people agree with me. They can see it too. They understand what I'm talking about. What they don't understand, and what I think many of you might not understand, is that I'm not just talking about the D's and the R's, the rhinos and the Democrats. I am also talking about Donald Trump and MAGA. They are all working together, in my opinion. They all play a role, in my opinion. I don't believe that Donald Trump has any intention of saving anyone. He is a reality show actor. He has proven over his tenure of 4 years in political office that despite his rhetoric, despite what he told conservatives and Republicans and the American people, despite all of the attacks, and I get it, he's attacked by Democrats. He had bad advisors. He was screwed by this agency and that agency. The people he appointed screwed him. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer screwed him, even though he brought them into his inner circle and they helped him craft every single piece of spending legislation and budget legislation that he signed into office, increasing the size and scope of the federal government and absolutely blowing up the deficit in this country. So I get it. He came in, he was polarizing, everyone was against him, the rhinos were against him, the Democrats were against him, it was a witch hunt, Russiagate, I get it. I get it. And even if he came in with the best of intentions, he was not able to make good on the promises that he made. Hillary was never locked up, in fact, he let her go. The wall was never built. It is why we have illegal immigrants pouring in over the border today. There's no wall there. Despite what Trump supporters shouted like a mantra for 2 years of his presidency. Oh, there's a wall there. He's building the wall. He's building the wall. There was never a wall. I am in reality right now. I am on team reality. Planned Parenthood was never defunded. I know. I followed up. I read the bills. Spending was never cut. In fact, Donald Trump spent more than Barack Obama in terms of profligate spending, printing money, and running deficits. Massive bills. He kept Obamacare in place. He promised to repeal Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. He didn't repeal it. Congress didn't repeal it. It is still in place and expanded under Trump's presidency. He promised to get rid of Common Core, the Department of Education, and the lock grip that they have on public schools across the country. He did not deliver. Common Core was never pulled out. In fact, we still have Common Core in every public school and most private schools, all charter schools across the country, firmly embedded by Betsy DeVos, the head of the Department of Education, who was one of the crafters of Common Core, the early advocates of Common Core. That's how deep I go in my research. That's how closely I watch what is happening in DC. People don't want to hear it. People on the right, for a reason I cannot fathom, still want to cling to this idea that Trump loves them, that Trump will protect them, that Trump is a savior of some sort. And they don't want to see what it is that he's actually done. It's biblical, right? What did they say? You know them by their fruit. Not what they say. It is the fruit that they bear, the discernible policy outcome. What did they accomplish? And yes, Trump accomplished in the sense that he pushed a dialogue, that he made people uncomfortable, that he sometimes exposed rhinos, but he also covered up for rhinos, which we'll get to a little bit later in the program. There were some small wins. I don't want to discount everything, but the big stuff, Common Core, Obamacare, building a wall, putting Hillary Clinton in jail. He promised that. Lock her up, right? Don't you remember? Build the wall. Build the wall. Do you remember those packed auditoriums? The chanting and the screaming. The almost cult-like worship of this man, which I could never understand. I think it comes from such a profound fear, very similar to COVID-19. People were so fed up with Obama. They were so fed up with what they saw happening to the country. They were so fed up with the rhinos betraying them, stabbing in the them in the back over and over and over. That finally someone like Trump comes out and he speaks your language. He presents himself as a savior. You latch on to him and that's it. It's done. The bond is formed. There's no going back. It reminds me, and please don't take this the wrong way, I know many of you support Trump and it's not this kind of relationship, but I'm seeing it again, which is why I have to address it. And believe me, I'm not going to go here very often. Sticking my head out and telling you what I really think regarding President Donald Trump is a no-win situation for me. I get eviscerated from both sides of the aisle. I believe my observation, my analysis of him as a president is spot on. I do not know him as a man. I can't judge him in terms of what he wishes happened, what he wants to happen, whether he loves this country or doesn't love this country. And quite frankly, neither can you. I can't make an assessment about his character. I don't know him. I've never spoken to him. I can assess what he has done. I can go through the tapes, listen to what he has promised on the campaign trail, listen to his rhetoric, and then juxtapose that with what is actually on the paper, the bills, the legislation. And I can tell you, they never matched up. The rhetoric was out here. The legislation might as well have been written, and frankly was written most of the time, by Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, Chuck Schumer, and Nancy Pelosi. They passed dozens of spending bills, bipartisan, while Trump and the Republicans enjoyed trifecta power. And so I think there is this sense, there is this persistent faction in the United States of America of conservatives and religious individuals on the right who are led by these kind of gurus like Cernovich and these MAGA Trump social media warriors. They have podcasts and platforms, and nothing exists but Trump. Nothing. There's no one else. There's no other solution. There's no other discussion. Everything revolves around the sun that is Donald Trump. And so despite horrific crimes against humanity, despite the plight of the January 6 prisoners in DC Gitmo, which was abhorrent, talk about political persecution and an absolute obliteration of our Bill of Rights, God-given natural rights. Just look at the dozens of prisoners rotting in prisons in Washington, D.C. Despite all of that, everything that we've gone through over the past 24 months, actually closer to 36 months at this point, no outrage, zero outrage until yesterday. And then all of a sudden, everyone freaks out because Donald Trump's home was raided. Now, make no mistake, that was wrong and an abuse of power. There's a lot more context here that is not being discussed anywhere else in the country. Believe me, I'm looking. We'll be back in a moment to continue to parse this on The Shannon Joy Show.
TNT Radio's Hervoy Morich.
It's being reported that beef prices are poised for a surge that could last years. So years and years without those tasty hamburgers. Beef prices are surging because of severe droughts across the western U.S., forcing mass cattle slaughters, or as I mentioned, in Ireland, they're paying farmers 5,000 euros to slaughter their hamburgers. I mean, cows. And meat distributors say the natural disaster could keep supplies tight for years. Really feeds well into Bill Gates's synthetic meat plan and insect bug burger plan.
Hervoy Morich on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Lowe, long jump gold medalist and world record holder. When I was 15, I was waiting to catch my train. In a split second, my life changed. As the train arrived, the crowd surged forward. I was too close to the platform edge, lost my balance, and fell into the path of the oncoming train. I was in a coma for 2 weeks, and it took 2 years to walk again. So please, stand back, look up, and stay rail safe.
For the news and views you can't hear anywhere else.
You guys are talking about everything that I just wanted to ask about.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
As I mentioned in the last segment, I don't typically talk a whole lot about Donald Trump. Frankly, I don't talk a whole lot about specific politicians on the show. I prefer to focus on principles. I prefer to focus on local organization, community organization, bottom-up resistance, bringing you the truth in terms of factual presentation of what is happening in the world today, trying to let you come to your own conclusions. The politics sits above this, but more and more I'm omitting myself from the politics and, as I mentioned, from discussion about politicians like President Donald Trump, because I don't see the point. It just divides people. It's a no-win situation for me. People want to cling to idols. I don't know what to do about this. I feel terribly for people because the longer we cling to political idols and focus all of our energy on singular characters to elect 3 years from now, potentially, in the future, we will continue to suffer. I have watched these politicians betray you for 10 years. And I have said to you as an audience for 10 years, please rip yourself out of the political paradigm. Stop spending so much time and energy thinking and analyzing about specific politicians clinging to them as your savior when you could be getting active in your community. I can tell you what many of you are going to do for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, and probably the next 2 or 3 years. You are going to focus obsessively on what happened last night at Mar-a-Lago. You're gonna go in and you're gonna look at the Constitution. You're gonna look at federal statute. You're gonna look at the law. You're gonna analyze whether or not Trump can be impeached or if he's able to run for president. You're gonna listen to hours of legal analysis and political analysis from conservative talkers across the country. You're gonna watch the hearings. You're gonna know the names. You're gonna go onto the Reddit boards and some of the alt QAnon boards and look at some of the conspiracy theories. You're gonna know all of the players. You're going to invest hours and hours, hundreds, time and energy into this mission to prove to people in a lawless society, people who don't care about the truth or the law, that somehow this man deserves to be president. He deserves to run for president. And that's what your focus is going to be for the next 2 years, when you could be getting to know your neighbors. You could be engaging locally, setting up firewalls in your own community. You could be going to school board meetings. You could be volunteering at the library, where so much of the horrible propaganda comes into as a funnel. You could run for political office, support someone locally who is running for political office. You can get involved in the groups that are setting up healthcare clinics, holistic healthcare clinics. There are a million things that people can do to take the power that they have, which is at the local level, and wield it in defense of the global plans that they are seeking to implement locally in the areas that affect our lives, our four walls, our children. No one does that, or not enough people. Too many of us still are so afraid to acknowledge the truth of this betrayal, not only from conservative media, from rhino Republicans, the Republican Party, but also MAGA and Trump. Where was Trump for the January 6th political prisoners? They were violated in a way that makes what happened at Mar-a-Lago pale in comparison. Yet he had nothing to say about that. And Julie Kelly, who has been doing most of the best reporting on this issue of the January 6th prisoners, called him out on this, right? Last night she tweeted, you know, this is no defense of Trump. For 18 months, his team, this is MAGA, his people, his promoters, his team, his campaign, his children, and Donald Trump himself, for 18 months, according to Julie Kelly, who has done the best reporting, if there's one person in this country who has not abandoned those January 6th political prisoners, who, by the way, went to Washington, D.C. to support Trump. For 18 months, she tweeted, Trump's team ignored the plight of J6 defendants who had their homes raided by dozens of armed FBI agents and some sent to prison denied bail by the Department of Justice prosecutors and DC judges he appointed. Trump judges are denying bail and aiding and abetting in the persecution of J6 prisoners, many of whom are still rotting in DC Gitmo today. Yet Kevin McCarthy and Steve Scalise, Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, all of the rhino Republicans with their panties in a bunch over the raid at Mar-a-Lago have had nothing to say about the gross abuses suffered by these J6 prisoners. And Trump, while he has mentioned it in passing here and there, has not lifted a finger to help them, to raise money for them, to find representation for them, to reach out to them, to use his bully pulpit to gain attention for the J6 prisoners. It's actually quite astounding. It's been surprising to me. Julie Kelly has been saying for quite some time that we should be paying attention to the political persecution of the J6 prisoners, because this is just the warm-up by the Department of Justice as they move towards their real goal, and that is the arrest and political persecution of Donald Trump. That's what she's predicting. That's where she sees this going. So you would think, in a rational world, Donald Trump, who we can all agree, right? He's not a stupid man, right? You would think that Donald Trump would understand this and see this and bring as much attention as possible to January 6th and to the corruption at DOJ. By the way, Christopher Wray, the FBI, the head of the FBI that approved the raid of Mar-a-Lago, was appointed by President Donald Trump. Trump seems to astoundingly appoint so many people that aid and abet in his own persecution. It makes you wonder if some of this is a bit of kabuki theater. If Donald Trump isn't, in the same way that Justin Trudeau, Nancy Pelosi, Zelensky over in Ukraine, Macron, we talk about marionettes, we talk about puppets, we talk about captured politicians, that's become an area of thought that is now widely accepted, that many of these political leaders are bought and paid for, that they are controlled. So if we believe that about Biden, we believe that about Zelensky, we believe that about Trudeau, we believe that about many of the rhino Republicans owned by Big Pharma, owned by Big Tech, completely bought into the Great Reset and the global realignment, well, shouldn't we maybe consider that Trump or his administration has been captured as well? Do we just throw that out? We don't even posit that idea? See, this is the type of discussion and speech that will sometimes get you thrown off conservative talk radio. This was the discussion and speech that got me thrown off my original show 5 years ago, before I moved to the massive 50,000 watt blowtorch, right? It was my questioning of Trump's alliances. And not saying that I know, I'm just saying, based on observation, it doesn't appear that he is achieving or making good on the promises he's making to American conservatives and American Republicans to drain the swamp. They have nothing to say about the torturous conditions for the January 6th prisoners. They have nothing to say about the torturous conditions for elderly people abandoned, isolated, and tormented to death alone in nursing homes. By the way, it was Donald Trump via executive order that locked down the nursing homes. We like to blame Andrew Cuomo here in New York State, but we forget the first nationwide nursing home lockdown order via executive order was from President Trump. Similarly, he initiated the first nationwide lockdown, the first nationwide mask mandate, and he signed the executive order implementing Operation Warp Speed, which gave us the crisis facing humanity, which is the poisoning of hundreds of millions via COVID-19 mRNA jabs. And to this day, he still promotes them. Last week, his daughter, Ivanka Trump, heralded the mRNA vaccines as saving so many people. Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, completely intertwined with the global elite, completely in alliance with the global elite in a million different ways, which we detailed over the years on my various radio platforms. This is the truth. I'm sorry. I know people don't like to hear it. But given what has happened in the past 24 hours, I think it's important. We'll be back in a moment on the Shannon Joy Show.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. The U.S. Navy says it has successfully recovered an F-18 Super Hornet from the bottom of the ocean, 1 month after the fighter jet was blown off the deck of an aircraft carrier. Voting has started in Kenya, where more than 22 million people are expected to head to the polls to elect a new president. New customs data shows China's exports to Russia soared last month, jumping 22% from a year earlier, as Beijing fills the void left by the exodus of Western brands.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
So let's now take a look at what went down in sunny Florida, Mar-a-Lago, former President Donald Trump's place of residence, raided late last night by the FBI, approved by Christopher Wray, the disgraced head of the FBI, who was, as I mentioned in the last segment, appointed by President Donald Trump during his presidency. It was around 6 p.m. Eastern time last night. The FBI began the raid at Mar-a-Lago. They went after a safe. The safe was empty. There were no Trump family members on the Mar-a-Lago campus during the raid. Sources inside the White House say that staffers, Biden administration staffers, erupted in cheers and applause when they heard that the raid was being conducted. Let's start here. Yes, I agree with virtually all of the analysis that this is political persecution. This is going after a perceived political enemy. At least it appears to be so. In the Kabuki theater and the fake wrestling, this is apparently President Biden and his administration weaponizing the FBI to go after what he perceives will be his political opponent. Only that doesn't really hold water, because this has now catapulted President Donald Trump back into the spotlight. Now everybody loves him, and I'll prove it with some of the tweets that were pouring out yesterday regarding this incident. Politically, from an optics point of view, this is a huge win for a floundering campaign. President Trump having trouble gaining traction. The polling has been terrible. It's Ron DeSantis that has been emerging as the favorite, or at least the closest in terms of polling that could knock Donald Trump off of that seat as the nominee for the Republican Party. Hasn't even necessarily been clear yet that Donald Trump is running. He hasn't announced that he's running, right? So this happens, all of a sudden everyone sees President Trump persecuted, victimized, attacked by the administration. This must mean this is who Biden really fears. I would say maybe it means Biden doesn't really fear Trump. He'd much rather run against Trump. And this is a perfect way to pigeonhole Ron DeSantis and put him in the unfortunate position of having to defend, right, his political opponent. If you're looking at this politically, which I don't often do, but I'll do it for a minute here tonight on the show because it's what everyone is talking about. This is kind of a nightmare for Ron DeSantis, because he has to now address this. There is a question of jurisdiction. There is a question of state sovereignty. There is a path that DeSantis can take to push back against Joe Biden and the federal government, the DOJ and the FBI, but it would be in defense of Donald Trump. And it's wrought with pitfalls, right? I don't know that the governor of Florida wants to get into this kind of battle with the FBI and the DOJ at this juncture. He probably doesn't, but now he kind of has to, because people are like, oh, what are you going to do about it, DeSantis? You're the big tough guy. You go after Disney. You say what everyone is thinking. You're protecting the children. And we like DeSantis because of that. Well, now this is dropped in his lap, kind of like an atom bomb. DeSantis has to deal with this politically, logistically, as governor of Florida. Trump gets to enjoy the victim status, enjoy the persecuted status, go out, raise money, and he's raising a lot of money right now, guys. A lot of money. His people are raising a lot of money. This is why I'm saying my propaganda is up. I'm seeing a marketing campaign. I can spot a marketing campaign a mile away. And the narrative that I'm seeing emerge from social media is, well, I used to be ambivalent about Trump and I used to not really care. But now, after I see how Biden has gotten after him, I'm Trump all the way. MAGA baby, Trump 2024. That tweet was retweeted by various social media influencers about a gazillion times yesterday, fast and furious, along with multiple Republicans tweeting out $25 donation here. When we take back the House, we're going to investigate this and we are going to leave no stone unturned. Just click here to donate $25 to my campaign, right? Like when you're analyzing something like this, you have to look at it in terms of the show. What is the show? FBI raids Mar-a-Lago. It's an attack on Biden. This is what they're presenting to us in the soap opera, okay? But you have to look at this in terms of, well, who's winning and who's losing. In this case, the unibrow wins exclusively, right? The Democrats are fundraising off of this because they have an enormous amount of momentum. Finally, they're going after Donald Trump. They raided Mar-a-Lago. They're going to get him. This is why you need to turn out in November to vote for Democrats. Please click here to give me your $24. And that communication is going out across emails, letters, social media, ad nauseum. I've seen it. It's already going out. They probably wrote this before it even happened. The people in the know. All right. So Democrats, check. They're winning money, campaigning, optics, excitement. That's what their base needed. Republican rhinos, Scalise, McCarthy, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, all of these losers, lamos, backstabbing rhinos are now out with the same kind of rhetoric. In fact, I have one right here. Let me see if I can find it. Hold on. Kevin McCarthy. This is so lame. Kevin McCarthy, GOP leader, the House. This is what he tweets out yesterday. Attorney General Garland, preserve your documents and clear your calendar. I'm coming, right? This guy had nothing to say about crimes against humanity, nothing to say about lockdowns or masking. The demolition of our economy, the torture and murder of elderly people in nursing homes, the crisis that we have now in terms of vaccine injury and death, the overwhelming number of people in emergency rooms. It's a nightmare. He has nothing to say, but Mar-a-Lago gets raided and all of a sudden he's Rambo. This guy is Rambo. He's ready for war, Kevin McCarthy. I've seen enough, he tweets. The Department of Justice has reached an intolerable state of weaponized politicization. I just mangled that word. By the way, he ignored it. When Moms for Liberty, mom groups, were raided by the FBI, Kevin McCarthy had nothing to say. Neither did Donald Trump. When moms like me were arrested for standing up for children and their right to breathe in public school board meetings, he had nothing to say. Neither did Trump. When parents were arrested at school board meetings, nothing. Nothing. When the Department of Justice, well, they might have mentioned when the Department of Justice labeled moms and dads terrorists. They might have said something about that. But this is what gets them going, right? And this is what he promises, Kevin McCarthy, Republican. When Republicans take back the House, we will conduct immediate oversight of this department, follow the facts and leave no stone unturned. Attorney General Garland, preserve your documents and clear your calendar. Dun, dun, dun. Kevin McCarthy, leader of the House, tweets this out, right? Right. So we're going to wait, I don't know, three. So you got to win back the House. Then you're going to launch an investigation. Then you're going to have a blue ribbon panel that's going to come in and they're going to investigate. You're going to string us along and string us along until it's almost intolerable. And then you're going to let the investigation go. I have seen this happen so many times. I'm telling you, Groundhog Day political hell. I've seen it a million times. Nothing will ever come of this. Indeed, let's conduct a five-year investigation into this because that's where this is going. But they're making money. They're going to link you to, you know, Republican National Committee and make your $50 donation right here. So check mark, Democrats win. Optics, raising money. Check marks, the rhinos win. Optics and raising money. And check mark, who else wins? This is how you analyze these stories. Who's winning, who's losing? And people want to say that Trump is the victim here. I say the biggest winner in all of this. And yes, he might get arrested, but he'll be a big winner even when he gets arrested too. All right, because it's a show. It's a show. Meanwhile, your health, the health of your children, this country is barreling off a cliff. And they're continuing with the razzle dazzle, the fake fighting, the WWE. That is my thesis. That's what I think is going on with Trump. I think he is just as captured. And you might say, oh, well, he's better than the other. Okay, fine. I don't care. Vote for him. I don't care. Just don't think about him for the next 2 years. Please spare yourself the angst and the anxiety. Go out, smell the roses, meet your neighbors, find a group, begin to organize, activate, be a firewall in your own community through organizations, build that network and share your information with other communities and link up all over the country. Do that in the meantime. And then 2 years from now, go and vote for Trump if you want to vote for Trump. But honestly, this is out of control. When we come back, I'm going to explain to you, I'm going to show you exactly how Trump is winning. And it just takes a few tweets that I compiled. When we come back, we'll discuss that tonight on The Shannon Joy Show.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
The Black Lives Matter Network, or BLM Network, founded by the three black female activists who created the hashtag Black Lives Matter hashtag, can be differentiated from the BLM movement, a more amorphous collection of racial justice groups. The BLM Network is a structured organization that has 34 chapters. Gaza described the network as an online platform that existed to provide activists with a shared set of principles and goals. Local Black Lives Matter chapters are asked to commit to the organization's list of guiding principles, but operate without a central structure or hierarchy. Gaza has commented that the network was not interested in policing who is and who is not part of the movement. The Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, one of the main organizations coordinating organizing and mobilization efforts across the Black Lives Matter network, reportedly raised up to $90 million in 2020. Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, Inc. is a global organization in the US, UK, and Canada, whose stated mission is to eradicate white supremacy and build local power to intervene on violence on black communities by the state and vigilantes. The Black Lives Matter movement founders have connections to large radical left organizations. The connection to the left has made the BLM movement rich and influential. Influence Watch estimates that groups associated with the BLM movement have taken in $133 million since 2013. Organizations associated with liberal billionaire George Soros are said to have provided at least $33 million to various BLM movement groups since 2016. In 2015, the fundraising club Democracy Alliance, led by liberal donors like George Soros and Taco Bell heir Rob McKay, recommended its donors to increase contributions to endorsed groups that have supported the Black Lives Matter movement.
Mercy Ships is launching a new hospital ship to provide free surgeries to the forgotten poor. But we urgently need 3,000 volunteers to serve in all positions. To learn more, visit mercyships.org/volunteer.
Telling the truth is the only mandate we believe in. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Shannon Joy Show. Quite the contrary of the popular political opinion from both the left and the right. Tonight, I think the biggest winner in the saga of the FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago in sunny Florida is Donald Trump. I think he's the big winner here, despite the invasion of privacy and despite the overreach of the federal government, the persecution, the prosecution, the politicization of law enforcement, which all of that exists and both can exist at the same time, right? I believe the FBI is out of control. I believe this raid is illegal, unconstitutional, and clearly political. I think Ray is out of control. It's too bad that Donald Trump appointed him. I think Biden's out of control. Quite frankly, I think the CIA and the DOJ, and if we're going to continue with the alphabet soup of corrupted and captured agencies, let's just continue. FBI, CIA, DOJ. How about the NSA, National Security Administration? Completely out of control with seizing your data, stealing it, and using it against we the people. Department of Education, Department of Defense, FDA, NIH, Anthony Fauci, all of it, okay? So yeah, we're now 2.5 years into dealing with an out of control, lawless, outside the Constitution, outside the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, illegal operation, criminal organization in Washington, D.C. And that has existed not only under Joe Biden, but also under President Trump and also under Barack Obama. And despite the best wishes or attempts of these political figures maybe to rein in that deep state, they have been unable to do it, including Trump. Okay, and that's not, it's not because I don't like him. Do not send me the emails, please. You just hate Donald Trump. I don't think about Donald Trump. I care about this country. I care about the truth. I care about my family, and I want to encourage people to do the things. What do you want? You want freedom. You want liberty. You want your constitution. You want a future. You want to keep your money. You want sanity. You don't want to be on this roller coaster ride of perma emergency, one after another, after another, after another. You want some semblance of a sane society, right? That's what you want. Well, I want that for you too. And I've spent a lot of time and energy, countless hours, looking at different tactics and strategies and techniques, looking at solutions. And I can tell you, the solution is not in a presidency, and it's not in the federal government. It's probably not even in the governor's office. These solutions come first from individual transformation, right? Enough people deciding that they don't want to be slaves, and then doing something about it. And then community transformation, stopping the implementation of these plans and policies at the point of implementation, which is the local level. It's not very sexy, I get it. It's not what the national politicos want to talk about, right? They want the intrigue. Well, I have sources on the inside, and I have people who know this and know that, and there's trust the plan and QAnon and all of these theories about how Trump is secretly organizing a coup and they're going to take over the government and his administration is going to be installed and it's going to happen very quickly and everyone's going to be perp walked. And I hear him ad nauseum. And people want to believe that. It's not that sexy. If you want freedom, you got to fight for it. Or enough of us have to fight for it. Frankly, it doesn't have to be the entire population. Just enough of us who omit ourselves from this soap opera, put our heads on straight, think clearly, and start getting about the business of changing things from the bottom up. We can't do that if we're constantly distracted. And that's the way that I see this whole debacle at Mar-a-Lago is mostly a distraction. It mostly likely will not have great impact. Could Trump be arrested? Maybe, but he'll appeal everything and it'll be a whole drama and everyone will watch and it'll get huge ratings and everyone's gonna get riled up and the two factions are gonna make an enormous amount of money again and we're gonna be distracted again and we're just gonna continue to suffer. We can do this over and over and over. Fast and Furious, Benghazi, Russia, 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 Hillary Clinton's emails. I mean, how long do y'all wanna do this? How long do we want to continue to be mired in Bill Murray's Groundhog Day political hell? I've seen this story a million times. The difference is how we react to it. The difference is how we react to it. And here's the thing. I mean, if you question in terms of my analysis and in a nutshell, what are the two takeaways from the show tonight? Number one, in terms of the Kabuki Theater, I would guess, based on my observations, that Trump is in on the Kabuki Theater. He's playing a role. He's captured in the same way that McConnell is captured and Scalise is captured. And it might not be that they're in on this grand conspiracy. They're just like, this is the way the game is played, and I'm going to play my role. And I'm not going to move outside my role. I'm going to stay within the boundaries of the game. When what we need as a country is for someone to completely flip the board. The game is corrupt. I think Trump is in on the game. Now, you can call me crazy. People think I'm Looney Tunes for positing that theory. But based on my observations, that's what I would assume. Not being privy to his, you know, private thoughts and beliefs and motivations, I can't ever be, none of us can. I'm just looking at what he's doing. If he were really fighting, he would have been present in the first year of COVID, the second year of COVID. He wouldn't have handed his presidency over to Anthony Fauci. He wouldn't have aligned with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer for the first 3 years of his presidency. He wouldn't have handed it over to Birx. He wouldn't have shut down. He wouldn't have locked down. And maybe he did it because he was scared. He was ill-advised. He trusted Ivanka and Jared. I don't know. I don't care, actually. You shouldn't either. Whether he's ignorant, cowardly, or corrupt shouldn't matter. The only thing that should matter is the discernible policy outcome. In the greatest tyranny in human history, in the history of this country, was ushered in, unfortunately, by Donald Trump, the man who is now apparently saying he's the guy to come in and save us, when he was the guy that flicked the switch in the first place. Love him, hate him, like him, dislike him, vote for him, don't vote for him, it doesn't matter. Based on his performance alone, not his motivations, not the challenges, I get it. Nancy Pelosi was mean. Hillary Clinton was mean. The left-wing media was unfair. I get it. You know what? They're all mean to DeSantis too. And they're all unfair to DeSantis too. But DeSantis is getting stuff done. That's the difference between the two of them. And I'm no DeSantis fangirl, by the way. I'm watching what he's doing. I'm watching it very critically, frankly. DeSantis kept the state locked down for about 6 months. I don't like that. Okay. He's getting things right more often lately. But this is my point. In this theater, if we're gonna go Shakespearean, all the world's a stage, Trump's the winner. And I'm going to just lay this out for you. Benny Johnson, right? No, Mike Cernovich. These are blue check Twitter. They have hundreds of thousands of followers. They're Team MAGA, Team Trump. This is what Mike Cernovich said. Mar-a-Lago raid was a huge gift for Republicans who had been struggling with coming up with a reason for voters to turn out midterms. Now they have Trump on the ballot. Trump wins. He's on the ballot. They're saying that this is now the destruction of DeSantis. Carmine Sabia said, I want to congratulate President Joe Biden, the DOJ, and the FBI for one thing. You united a divided Republican Party. There is no primary. It's over. DeSantis is out. Trump is the nominee and he is going to win. MAGA, baby. Chris DeGaulle, another blue check, hundreds of thousands of followers. My wife has been pretty ambivalent about Donald Trump. Voted for him, didn't particularly care about his return. After the news broke, his home was raided. Her ambivalence has vanished. She's ready for battle, right? I used to be ambivalent about Trump. Now I'm super mad. We're gonna rile everyone up. Forget about Ron DeSantis. By the way, he has to carry the baggage of protecting Donald Trump in Florida because it happened in his state, which is hilarious. No one's really analyzing that, right? This is a win for Trump. Mark Fincham, the FBI just united the entire world behind President Trump. Big win for Trump. And that's the beginning of my analysis. We'll have more this week. I hope to have a couple people on to go over this as well. Maybe challenge me on my theory, but let me just tell you, I'm sensing the propaganda is up. I think this is a campaign and that's just the way it is. That's all I have to say about that. We'll come back tomorrow. Do it all again on The Shannon Joy Show.